Okay.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to After the Rose Podcast. You should have done serious. The intro. I knew right away I
you've bitten off more than you could proverbially chew. That's another dog joke.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I'm starting
You're
too
in
soon.
The doghouse.
I'm starting too soon. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to After the Rose. It's me, Megan Cruz.
And me, Molly Leach. All things The Bachelorette, Caitlin's season.
All things The Bachelorette, really. I've branched out into surrounding literature.
We're into the whole franchise.
I'm into the deep cuts now. Like,
they need, like, The Bachelorette workout. Like, so that you can dress like Caitlin.
Uh-huh.
I'm just basing it off of The Biggest Loser, my other favorite reality show.
I meant to say this last time, but I didn't get to it, that I've been brainstorming with some friends some other ways that they could mix up the show, you know, like allowing people, not only just the Knicks of the world, to jump into the season and be like, wait, give me a chance, but like her, like, sixth grade boyfriend who's like watching all of the, like, what if you let people from the outside petition
for
the ones they love?
I think that's 100% in the wrong direction. I want to close it up.
Wait.
25
you're like...
men.
No.
Picked by the producers. Otherwise, it's just her dating. She's just living in the world dating.
Oh, you're right.
Why not just...
So maybe they should grow them, like, in...
Instead of watching TV, why don't we just, like, live our own lives at that point? If we're just going to watch... If it's just anybody...
Okay, you're totally right, actually.
Why don't we just... All right.
So, but do you think they should, like... They should design the men, like... Is this a eugenics proponent? Like...
I'm used to 25 men that look identical, that have the exact same fashion, no visible tattoos, no piercings, no interesting jobs or life stories. That is what The Bachelorette is all about.
Remember that?
God, you're like the J.J. Abrams of The Bachelorette. You come in, you take the Star Trek franchise, and you're like, hey, people are sick of not fun movies. Like, let's add some action and adventure to what should be a science fiction franchise. But... I digress.
J.J. Abrams?
No one. He's a director of films. It doesn't
Sometimes matter. Molly gets really mad at me for not knowing references and such.
I feel that if you knew more about movies, then you would find my movie jokes funnier. Like, you they would land.
Well, this is about that. But I'm encouraging you to make jokes land in other areas. I feel like you've got all these, like, men in your life who the movie jokes land with.
None of them are listening. Our core audience is your friends. Your flowery female friends.
I don't have very many flowery female friends, to be honest with you.
You're right.
I really don't. All right, back to business.
To business, my favorite toast.
We watched the show together again this last week. And then we spent a few days apart. So we are podcasting a little late, but we're up to date. We watched the show at my good friend Jen's with Dorothy, who is still in heat. And
oh, man, she was really, like, in full throttle that night. She was insatiable. She's actually calmed down now. She's starting to return back to normal. But, yeah.
Yeah, so we're with Jen hosted and...
Jen, my fellow Tim. And Dorothy was really into Tim. And Jen is sort of a butch. And I was like, I wonder if Dorothy will be into Jen. I have a feeling that Dorothy, like, I think she might go that way. And I was right. Like,
go that way. Like...
I think
you sounded like an old lady in the 50s talking about, like, a perpetual bachelor and being like, I don't know, he likes some show tunes. Does you think he goes that way? Like,
it's fine. I mean, I'm okay with it. People are weird, but no. Well, I mean,
because
she wasn't into, like, while she's in heat, I'm her number one, like, I'm her master, like, she loves me, like, when I'm gone, she's sad, like, she's my dog.
I might as well have a paper bag over my
head. I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, she's not, like, she likes me normal, but she's not super into me, and she wasn't that into, Megan, who's very, full makeup. Not today. today.
Not today. No. I'm wearing yoga pants today.
Yeah, she's dressed down for real. But anyway, my dog likes dykes and men. That's the take home here. But she's coming around. Like she's starting to act like herself again because she can't have puppies. Like she's 9. It's just a residual like, and she doesn't like try to fuck anybody. She just like looks like she sits in front of them and like pants and looks at them with a smile for like for hours.
It's
just
more like more disturbing. Like think of anybody who's ever tried to like fuck you while you were out, and then imagine them just like sidling up to you at home and panting at you.
I feel like Dorothy acts the way that I would if I didn't understand societal constraints. Like, whenever food is around, she loses her mind and begs for it. I feel like I would be that. I'd be like, oh my god, pizza! Oh, can I have a piece of your pizza? I was wondering if I could have a piece of your pizza. Like, that's what I'd be like if I didn't, like, you know that that's not appropriate. And same with people. Like, she's just like, will you pet me? Like, can I climb into your lap? I love you. Like, that's how
I mean, it was interesting because on the show, it was like, the cues where they're like, where you kept saying, the music tells me how to feel, the music tells us how to feel. Like, I feel like that's a similar thing with learning what Dorothy has not yet learned.
She doesn't know any better than to like be self-conscious about begging for pizza.
Yeah.
You know, nobody taught her that she's fat. And she's not.
She's not.
She is height weight proportionate. Because I don't want a fat dog, okay? Like, I portion out her food because no thank you. Part of her appeal is her good looks.
I think that's pretty much why it's just the arm candy.
Speaking of good looks and the show at hand.
All right. Your boy
Ben H. He had a...
I like him all right. I go back and forth with him.
It's basically the Sean and Nick show, and then Ben H. is also here. But Tim, not to jump the gun, but Tim had... Oh, we're totally jumping the gun because I've already revealed who the final three are.
Ugh.
Real quick, Jared gets eliminated, and it's Ben H., Nick, and Sean, and we'll get to that. But Tim said that Nick and Sean, since they have such a rivalry, that they will cancel each other out and that it will be Ben H.
Ben H. will just jump, like, they'll be busy fighting, and Ben H. will, like...
But that's so insane because that's no way to pick a life partner.
Like, the show is, though. I mean, the problem isn't the show. It's the idea that they would fight and he would jump in.
The problem
in.
Is the show.
I know. The problem is definitely the show.
So, okay, so they have a conversation on their date. Do you want me to summarize this, Megan? Or?
Yeah.
So he's just.
We could act it out, sort of.
I mean, yeah. He says there's a stigma around the fantasy suite that it's all about sex. Like there's a stigma around the fantasy suite that like everyone's talking about it like in society.
Because
like,
that's what we call the fantasy suite.
To them, this is the reality of their life. They're like, yeah, a lot of people talk about the fantasy suite and what happens.
Yeah, the struggle
there.
Is real with the fantasy suite.
Yeah, and he says he's like, that's one cliche. I'd like to offer this other cliche of I just want to talk all night. And he says it with such earnestness, and Caitlin is no ordinary bachelorette, so, like, her response is like, not to be like, that's sweet, she says.
Are you a virgin?
And then there's, like, a goddamn commercial break. Okay, all right, ask me again.
Are you a virgin?
No. No.
What if you were, and all of our friendship had, like, you just talked...
There's
told me
just
wild
no
lies.
Fucking way.
He had constructed wild lies to, like, much like the Virgin Ashley of Bachelor in Paradise, who wanted no one to know.
I just do so much anal and oral. That's how I imagine Ashley, but no. I'm 33. I would have accidentally landed on a dick at this point. There's no fucking way. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus. How would that happen? I'd have to have some sort of medical condition. Like, there'd have to be, like, a seal over it. Like,
she's hermetic.
Yeah, no.
So, Tim predicts they'll cancel each other out. And Tim's not really Bachelor Nation, though.
No,
it's confusing because casting a vote does indicate he's Bachelor Nation.
Dude, I mean, like, I brought him because it was, like, a fun outing. And, oh, and, like, Megan was like, I'll get pizza. And I was like... Pizza, like, party. Pizza, party. That was... Anything with evolving food. When we first started dating, like, there was, like, an awkward thing of, like, my ex-boyfriend was, like, hosting a barbecue, and I was like, do you want to go? And he was like, that sounds, like, really awkward and awful, but barbecue? He was like, what kind of barbecue? And I was like, barbecue chicken. And he was like, all right, that sounds pretty good. I was like, so I knew with the pizza I had him, and you know, and we had some shots of tequila, and he tweeted, Bachelorette isn't that cool, but like tequila makes it okay, maybe. Like that's as much enthusiasm.
Not
as
a very good tweet.
Not a winning endorsement.
I'm a world's laziest tweeter, but
bear in mind I'm paraphrasing to be fair. At Tim Weaver 84, if you want to.
84.
He was born in 84. Young. He's a baby.
tequila makes it kind of okay. I don't know. Mm, I was drinking. I was drinking chilled white wine out of a glass that had a feather boa on the bottom that said sexy on it, and I was in heaven. I'm so happy.
I was so happy. It was such a good time.
Yeah.
I feel like he did it out of like obligate. I mean, I watch him play Madden for hours. Hours.
You watch him play.
I watch him play a football game, which Molly, is incredibly sophisticated.
Why do you do that?
I mean, I do other shit. I play the guitar. I like play Candy Crush. I like
do
read.
Do you like watching him play?
It's just like when we're chilling at his place, he's playing Madden and I'm sleeping. I'm like sitting on his bed, like biting, like passing the time while he plays this idiotic football game. But it's so sophisticated. Like it's crazy. It looks like a real football game. And it's, I don't know.
Does he give you a turn to play?
I don't want to play. It's too hard. I tried to learn how to play. It's too hard.
Okay.
It's really
just
difficult.
Just checking in. I just want to make sure.
I won't, you're like, I don't, is I'm he, not is he ever, hurting you?
I don't Did ever. I'm never going to sit and watch somebody play a video game. It hurts my head to think of. But I
Megan, you're not a real straight person. Like, this is what real straight women do. We watch our men play video games for hours. And
that
we're
sounds
like,
awful. No, I remember sometimes people would do that, like some of my like these women would be like, hey, you want to come watch me shoot some hoops down on the court? And I'd be like, okay. And then I would sit like on the edge of the court while they played like pickup b-ball, and I'd be like, this is hell.
Yeah, I might be upsetting like an unfortunate expectation that I'm going to do this forever, when really it's just like, I don't know, biding my time until I start asking him for shit.
Yeah. What would you ask for? Hairbrushing, poetry reading.
I made him watch the movie Gone Girl, and he really hated it.
Really?
I like that movie. I think that the dialogue is very bad. I think that the screenplay, I think that Gillian Flynn's screenplay, I don't think that she knows how to write a screenplay. I think it sounds like a David Mamet play. It sounds hackneyed and like silly, but I think that the structure of the movie is good, and I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, I was just impressed. I don't know, the whole
and the story. I mean, I'm a murder porn junkie, so I'm into that shit.
Yeah,
and I really liked the book.
I'm reading Dark Places right now, which is another book of hers.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and then Sharp Objects. You should get on it with me. Speaking of which, I think later on we should do a. I have not started The Perfect Letter yet, a novel by Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And to give myself a jump start, I think we should read the first paragraph or two on the show.
Let's do that later.
Okay. Okay, so Tim is not Bachelor Nation. We have established that.
Ben H is not a virgin, but is just excited to talk all night. Mm-hmm. He's really sort of saying that's his audition to make it to the fantasy suite. And at the end of that, Caitlin says, I feel great.
Oh, yeah, she's really into him at the end.
I feel like he might be this dark horse. Like, he's just going to be, like, the perfect man. She's just going to lose her mind over the Nick and Sean fight, and he's just going to be like, hey, baby girl. New prediction. The show ends with them not getting married, but them starting a tentative relationship after, like, crazy drama between Sean and Nick.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. What happened to Joe, though?
Oh, Joe.
Poor fish monster Joe.
There's It's that song, because Fish Monster.
I think he looks like a fish monster.
I always think of that, the song that's like, goodbye, Joe, we gotta go, me, oh, my, oh.
A lot of good like songs down the about bayou. Joe.
Yeah.
There's Hey Joe, the Jimi Hendrix, but also Hey Joe, the Daniel Johnson, is later covered by Sparkle Horse, which is really good.
Oh, we should have... We need to get some music on this show, I think.
Too hard. Don't know how to edit it in. Thought about it. Can't do it. First take, best take.
Yeah, that's fine.
But maybe.
That's when we first started. You would be like, okay, first take, best take, and you'd be all nervous. Now you're just like, whatever, are you ready to go?
Shut up. I was never nervous.
We're in a frumping scene in our relationship.
Megan, we have to... Crazy. We're about to have to go off script, because I don't have the cord.
I'm going
to
record it on here.
What are you talking about?
I'm just going to transfer the notes.
How are you going to transfer the notes?
By hand, girl. By hand.
I think that this is crazy. It's like Mission Impossible. don't transfer it notes. Is. We know what the fuck we're going to say.
Okay, you keep talking.
All right. Okay. Maybe now's a good time to talk about my autism.
I think, yeah, let's
All right, we're going to start this is a new segment on the show. It's called Am I Autistic? And it's been a reoccurring theme in my life for a while. People are like, hey, Molly, have you ever considered that you might be on the autistic spectrum? And I'm just like, of course not. I have so many feelings, you know? Like, yeah. No, I'm very emotional. But,
I mean, yeah, okay, go ahead. Sorry, well, no, you go for it.
Well, I mean, what got me thinking about it was, we talked about this earlier, Joe and Caitlin were having this, like, intense breakup conversation, and I was like, okay, what's happening? You know, I was, like, looking at both of their faces, I'm like, okay, so... I knew that Caitlin was about to break up with Joe, but I didn't know how we were supposed to feel about it. And then, like, the music changed from, like, this lighthearted, like, we're on a date and it's going well, and Joe's like, I'm in love with you. And then, like, before Caitlin even goes in for the breakup talk, the music changed to, like, serious conversation music. And I was like, oh no, Joe! You know?
You did, like, in fact, you kept saying, music tells me how to feel.
Like, I'm like, is the train okay? Is the car that they drove there okay? What year is it, Maine? How much do her earrings weigh? and then other examples in my life are like, I really hate talking on the phone. Like, I can't stand it. I feel really...
You talked on the phone to me.
I never liked it. I mean, for a long period of time, I just, like, I don't...
That's amazing. You're like, I never enjoyed myself.
It's rough. I mean,
I was faking it the whole time.
Well, because I never know when it's my turn to talk, you uh-huh. know? I hate when it's like, oh no, you go. Oh, okay, what? Like, I need visual cues in order to, like, have a conversation that doesn't make me anxious with a person, but I don't like talking to people in person either.
Yeah.
So, just people, I guess. Let's see, other examples, like my sister had a baby and I don't love it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't get it. It's just a baby. Like, it seems like the rest of the family, like, I don't not love it, but, I mean, like, they got it Vans, like, little Vans for its feet, and it's like 4 months old. I'm just like, why are you buying Vans? It can't walk.
Shoes for babies are like a really confusing thing, because like their feet can't actually go on the ground. Like, it's one half fashion and one half warmth at that point, you know?
I remember, like, my family has these long text conversations because we're all in different parts of the country, and my sister was like, here's my baby playing with the other kids. And I'm just like, actually, in its stage of development, like, it's not, it doesn't do cooperative play until, like, 18 to 16 months, as dictated by Piaget's. Like, I don't know. I just, sometimes I feel that other people are more, I don't know. I like horses, not people. I'm like yeah. Temple Grandin.
It was really, yeah. I have
a flat affect.
I don't think that you should diagnose yourself as that. I just think, I mean, because there are so many other ways that you are you are. Like, I think we're all both.
I think I'm empathetic.
I think you're empathetic. I think that, but I also think,
I don't think that Counselor Troy, all right, like, I'm not saying that an empath isn't important on the Starship Enterprise. What I am saying is that I don't think that the guidance counselor should be sitting at the captain's table and, like, they're making all the important decisions. Do you know what I'm saying, Megan?
I have no idea because I never watched Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Sorry. I always had a hard time with those.
Here's my impression of Counselor Troy. She's like, I sense something's wrong here. And it's like, no shit, Counselor Troy. Like, we're in the middle of an episode. Like, we're being bombed by, like,
badly.
The alien.
This was the first time I just so badly wanted to, like, make an analogy to one of my jobs. But, like,
you can't. You
can't do that on the big air screen, on the public air time.
It's nice to say
I swallowed. I
wish we could just
words.
Be real with each other. But, yeah, there's certain things.
I don't know. I find... One of the things I find really interesting, like, I remember you saying to me once when we went to a party, and it's touched me ever since, like, in an emotional way. Like,
I can't wait.
You said, and then, I mean, I'm going to say right now, like, I am a weirdo, fucked up person, too, and I may not have autism characteristics, but I definitely have, like, manic and depressive characteristics and all these things, you know, but, so I'm not trying to, like, be like, let's put Molly's mental health on blast, or, like, yeah, psychology fine. On blast, but you said to me, we were going to a party, and you were like, you know, some people in your family, and you were that birthday party that we went to, and you were like, I'm really interested to see you there, and watch the way that you act. And it, like, I mean, it was, like, pretty early in our close friendship, because Molly and I knew each other for a long time, but we weren't, like, spending regular time together, and it made me realize that, like, I think you and I both watch each other, because I watch the way that you interact when, like, if you want to go home, or, like, you don't want to give someone a large, like, you know, you don't feel like talking to someone, or someone is insulting to you or something, like, I just take it. Like, I just, like, yeah. It's like I eat it like a big bowl of soup I don't want to swallow. And you're like, no, like, you don't deserve that. Like, don't eat the soup.
Yeah.
Like, let's beat it, you know? And it's like, but so it was interesting to me. Because I think I watch your behavior as a template a little bit.
I feel the same way about you. I think we have things to learn from each other socially.
But I don't know. I am interested in the segment of Are You Autistic? I need to find a similar segment for me so that it's not just on you.
Do I just put other people first too much? Am I just too kind?
No. How about am I manipulative?
Oh. Oh my god. Am I manipulative? I love it.
Yeah, am I manipulative? Like, am I a buddy boiler? Like, it's sort of that question, though.
You're gonna lose your power if you start citing examples on the show. Though, you got to keep it under wraps.
It does remind me of when people are like, so what do you say on a job interview when they ask you about your weaknesses?
I work too hard.
No. I work too hard, or like, God, I had a good one a long time ago. I can't remember what it was.
I remember saying, like, I'm disorganized. I'm often late.
I really care about the work at all.
When I became the calendar editor at the Indie, my later boss said, are you organized? And I said, you know, no. And I was about to add something to that, like, you know, mitigate it, and he just started talking, like, so I didn't get a chance to explain. And then later when they hired me, they were like, we hired you even though you flat out said you were disorganized in the interview. And like, you didn't give me a chance.
Are you doing a feature for them soon?
Don't hold your breath, but I've thought about it. Look out for that. Never. No, I don't know, maybe.
Look out for that, not.
I mean, I'll tell you if I do. I don't know. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, let's get back. So, we've got our notes are sort of mixed up.
Jared.
Jared Patches is eliminated. He went very like gracefully.
When he was being eliminated, he was just like, and this was in stern contrast to Joe, earlier, he was just very like, because Joe was like, I'm in love with you, and Caitlin was like, this isn't going to work out, you have to leave. And they were just like on a park bench in the middle of their three-way date, and Joe's just like, what am I supposed to do? Like, yeah. Where the fuck am I supposed to go? And Caitlin's like, oh, all right, well, I'm just going to walk in this direction. And it was pretty awkward.
But at the same time, like, it was shocking to me that he got so angry because Joe, going back to Joe, like, they had very little together. And I feel like he really expected that she'd be like, really? Me too, fish monster. And just throw the other men aside and go back.
Yeah. I mean, he was like, I'm in love with her and I hope she feels the same way. So to hear that, I mean, it was a blow to him. Again, assuming that this is all real, we might as well.
We've gotten this far.
Right? later, when Tim and I left and came home, he referenced that moment in the show, and I think he was actually trying to have, like, a real, like, conversation with me about our relationship, but, you know, I'd had too much water, and I wasn't really, like, I wasn't in a right frame of mind for it, so I didn't really, and also might be autistic, I don't know. I'm like, I think he was trying to talk about our relationship and feelings, but
this is where I would argue the other point is that you are often working on talking about, like, you are often talking about wanting to talk about your feelings to people, different mm-hmm. people in your life, and struggling with how to do that, and that's not the move of someone. You know, that is, like, you working with people who are making it difficult for you, as opposed to the other way around.
So it's not me, is what you're saying? Or...
No, I mean, I don't know the question quite, like... But, no, I just think that... I think it's possible that there are ways in which you are missing cues, like you're talking about when you watch things or interpret other people, but, like, you seem to have a huge degree of emotion and empathy in your interactions with people themselves.
Oh, okay, great. I would agree. I don't know.
Well, do you cry at movies ever?
I used to. I don't. I still do, but not as much as I used to. But yeah, no, I definitely do. I definitely do.
This is where we. It's like that Diagnose Me game show that just came out. I'm just like, and then Molly, I've got some snake oil for you that's gonna help even out
I'm autistic. It's just like a very. It's like an Asperger's that's like not worth talking about. It's just like on the spectrum, like vaguely. Like it doesn't. I'm not like I can't count cars. I'm not, you know, Rain Man, and I don't like. It's
can
not,
we work on the counting cards thing?
I don't have any special skills. I mean, like, I'm pretty good with movies, but I don't think I have, like, I don't think it's, like, encyclopedic. I think it's just that I like movies, so
seems
I can tell
seems like it's
you.
Encyclopedic to
I mean,
me.
Name a movie and I'll tell you what year it was made.
Free Willy.
1993.
You sure it wasn't 1992?
It could have been 92. 92, 93.
Okay.
Give me a two-year under-over, I mean.
Okay.
Let's do a couple more and we'll go back to the show.
Play to the Navigator.
We just watched that last night, and it's 1985, 1986.
Oh, my gosh.
I literally just watched that movie last night. Did you read my tweets?
Yeah, maybe I did.
Yeah.
It held up. Yeah, I'm just trolling you. I love that movie. Harry and the Hendersons.
1987.
I'm hitting you with, like, weird children's YA
movies, they're
too.
All in the same age.
Let me see.
Okay, this isn't interesting.
Dangerous Minds.
1996, 1995.
95, you're not 96. Hitting me quite with the speed, but I'm also, like, my pool is not the one from which you usually sip, I'm guessing.
See, I think that this is evidence to my not being autistic, because I'm not, like, 1995, definitely, 1995. Like, I have to think about it.
1991.
When you said Dangerous Minds, I was like, okay, I saw it in 8th grade at the Dollar Theater, my mom dropped me off, and,
oh, is that how you recall the year? That's so touching. It's like a story memory walk.
Mom.
No, it's like you recall things by, like, memory walking or sort of.
Yeah, and I have a weird, like, visual, like, timeline of films as well. Like, I put them in, it's...
So you think of them both as, like, a bookcase? Like a high-fidelity style record bookcase? Or...
Yeah.
Or, like,
I really related to that.
The time.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, if I have an emotional connection to the movie, then it has to do with the place and time that I knew it, but it can also have to do with the place and time that I learned about that movie. And I don't need to have necessarily seen the movie to know what year it came out either. Like, I just, like, you know, I keep a pretty good catalog of film.
I really can only remember anything about movies if I remember why I watched them or, I don't know, but I don't watch very many movies.
Why are we doing this? What are we talking about?
Sorry. Yeah, Joe. Jared's gone. Jared in stark contrast to Joe.
What I was going to say was that Tim was telling me that he felt that, that Caitlin wasn't acknowledging Joe's feelings. That Caitlin was just sort of, like, brushing over it. And I didn't really feel that. I didn't find that to be true.
Well, and also, like, to deeply acknowledge his feelings would have put him in a position where he felt like she was manipulating. Like, it's like the pull the Band-Aid off thing,
right? I think she was trying to pull the Band-Aid off, and I think that, I don't know, I think it's always the case that when you're being dumped, like, it's a natural reaction to be like, it was the way that they dumped me.
Or right. Like,
when really it's just like, no, it's just the rejection. Like,
right. Any it's way never that you the do way. It. Is, like, unless you do it in, like, a public humiliation, like, then, scorning yes, way. Like, way. But no, any other way, yeah. Ugh, that's hit too near to my past.
It's, this show really, it's idiotic, but it's, relationships 101, you know, we can all relate to it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've all dated 25 men and then whittled them down on television. Who hasn't had that experience?
I like to imagine you physically whittling them till they're just little clothespins out in your yard.
Can I please whittle wood with you?
Whittling would be a good date.
Oh, yeah, they should have a whittle wood
date. Whittling contest.
It's just like
I'm actually a really good whittler. Did I tell you that?
I'm not surprised. You're pretty crafty.
I whittled as I was growing up. Little things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so great.
I whittled, like, little, you know, like little ponies, tchotchkes, like figurines, old men's heads that look like Father Time.
There's that scene in Son-in-Law when Pauly Shore is, like, to the old grandpa that, like, is on the farm. He's just like, can I please whittle wood with you? And finally the grandpa says, yes, sit down and whittle wood with me. So that would be great. They show up and, like, there's just an old man on a porch, like, whittling. And he's like, all right, I'm going to teach you two lovebirds how to whittle.
I would be way into that.
Yeah.
I've never been formally trained. It's like playing music by ear.
They're going to run out of dates on a long enough timeline. It's going to be like basket weaving. Like, they're not going to have enough to do.
Like, they're going
to
take to my strengths.
You're going to be like, Megan, what do you think we should? I think that ABC should employ us pretty soon here. I've been thinking about it. I've seen some of the literature. Seen some of the literature surrounding the show, and I think we could do better. I think that we could be good producers, like directors.
Have you ever done anything in the film industry before besides reviewing?
I made a really great student film in high school, but that's not what matters here. Like,
okay.
I'll have my brother call some people. My brother's a big shot in Hollywood.
I'll put my maxi dress back on.
Put your maxi dress back on.
They'll know right away that I'm there for...
Put some goddamn makeup on your face.
I know, I'm sorry. You have to look at me like this.
My God,
we're trying
to get jobs here. I walked in, I was like, oh God.
You really put this bag over your head.
I didn't notice that she wasn't wearing makeup until I made a joke about her wearing makeup, and then I looked at her face and saw that she was
wearing makeup. Yeah, I haven't even got dressed today. Anyway, so...
Jared is eliminated.
I think the next thing was... It's the rose ceremony, really, right? And
when Jared was eliminated, he acted so, like... He was just like, it's okay. Like, you're a great woman. He, like, offered his coat to her as they were walking out. And I remember you were like, Jared is, like, being so cool about this. And Tim said, because he doesn't care.
I don't think that's true, though. He cried and cried.
He didn't cry.
Yeah, he didn't.
Did he cry in the limo after?
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, well, do you remember how, like, Jared came in originally as Love Man? Ugh, woof.
Well, that nightmare is finally over.
I know, we never have Jared to... Oh, I saw some article that Chris Harrison had put up where he referenced his patchy facial hair and I felt totally redeemed.
Yeah, he did. He was like, it said beard in quotes,
yeah.
Right?
I felt totally redeemed that Chris Harrison had, in fact.
Chris Harrison making fun of people.
I know. That's like... Whatever, Chris Harrison. Your time will come later in this episode of After the Rose. When we read the perfect letter.
So, okay, so Caitlin, before the rose ceremony, Caitlin finally told Sean about her sexual indiscretion.
Just says what she went too far or whatever.
She says things went too far like once, and then Sean repeats it like 50
times. Yeah, and I think she actually says to him, like, we had sex. Uh-huh. But Sean's repetition, like, the rhetoric of things went too far. Like, yeah, it's like, what, like, the tip slipped in, like...
I have an issue with that, because I just feel like he just, like, he kept putting it, like, she made a mistake, like, blah, blah, blah. And I think that she was, like, owning up to it a little bit in terms of, like, I think it was a mistake in terms of, like, where I stand with the other men and that, like, I didn't mean to hurt people. But, like, I feel like Sean was taking it, like... she accidentally fucked a guy that isn't cool and she's sorry.
You're right. I keep pushing for him because I don't know why, but you're right. Like, he has sort of, like...
I think that he's very emotional and possessive, and he reminds me of emotional, possessive men.
Yeah. I feel like he and Nick both, and you're right in that way. Like, Ben H. would be the clear good choice, right? Like, first choice, best choice.
I don't think that she is. I don't think her husband is in this room. I mean, Ben H. right now is my favorite, but I, like, my enthusiasm for Ben H. has wavered a little bit after his talk all night thing. I'm like, all right, you're being a little bit square.
Yeah, he needs to. They ever do drugs on this show? Like,
no. Are you kidding me? No. They never even take a sip from their drink, barely. Like, they hold them, but, like...
I'm just saying, I feel like they should have a night where they're like, and person... now it's the drug suite, and you see if, like, your drugs are compatible. Like, if your drugs are compatible, if you're
We're
like...
We're going to Amsterdam! Weed off! And then, I don't know how you make that update, but... Who can hit this bong without coughing?
I like that you went to weed, like, the least sexual drug of all.
Oh, well, I mean, Jesus, it's on network TV. You want, like, the shoot-up date, like, the cocaine date. Like, I was trying to keep it in the realm of possibility.
Oh, I don't know. I'm in dreamland now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they do the rose ceremony, and Sean takes Caitlin aside, and he is, that's where he becomes, like, he has stepped into aggro dick world, where he's like, why are you saying that I'm the one, and then you bone him, and it's like, you guys have already covered this, and that's where I think she does
a great job.
Yeah, I was so impressed with her. I love the way she handled that, like, she, I'm so earnest about it, but...
I'm with you, though.
She was just like, you keep saying, you know, like, I shouldn't have, instead of saying, like, you are the one, I shouldn't have done that, she says, I shouldn't have said that to you.
Yeah, she says, telling you that you were the one halfway through was a mistake. I never should have done that. Like, I had no business saying that. There are all these other relationships that I have to explore. And she says, when this is over, I don't, like, there will be no more exploring of relationships. Like, this is the time to do it. And, right. Like, you need to understand this process. Like, that I have to give all of these men, like, you know, I have to consider them. And she owns up to the fact that she shouldn't have said that. You know, that's, like, really, that's the biggest mistake she's made on this show. It's not fucking Nick. It's not anything else. It was...
Right. I was just so impressed. I was so glad she didn't let him turn it around on her. Like,
I agree. I think she was really strong, and she told him what was what.
Good job, Caitlin.
Good job, Caitlin. It seemed like the episode was short when we're trying to recap it now, because it doesn't seem like a lot happened.
Yeah.
After the Jared elimination, it was...
I think that part of it is that there's a lot of... Every elimination, they do sort of a debrief on the guy's part, which is another commercial break, and another... You know, I think they were...
A lot of commercials. A lot of teasing what's coming next. It's, like, most like the Teletubbies than any other show on TV. And just a lot of repetition.
I have not watched the Teletubbies.
The reason that I compare it to the Teletubbies is that it's a show made for children, so what they'll commonly do is they'll show, like, one little segment of, like, oh, two Teletubbies, like, running through the field. And then they'll show, like, the same thing again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, back-to-back, because, like, little kids, like, they like that.
As do
grown-ups watching The Bachelorette.
I love
They're like,
that.
Hold on, wait, what?
I think it really is a soothing thing to my brain, because I cannot, like, You know, I can't stay awake in a movie to save my life.
You sure can.
I can't. And unless it's trashy and sort of shallow, or it is a dramatic movie with a strong female lead.
My mother and everyone I know.
I can't follow. Like, I just can't. And I don't know what it is about. Like, I will find myself re-watching shitty things. Like, I would re-watch old seasons of The Bachelorette before I would start, like, a new movie. You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean about my brain?
You're real smart in other ways.
That has always been my refrain. Like, I have some other smart...
Like, well, sophisticated taste. I mean, like, I'm looking, a cursory look over at her books. Like, it's not all, like, The Cat in the Hat. Like, you know, she's got some real novels. Like, she dresses herself every day. No. I didn't mean to be such a bitch.
No. I'm actually, like, it worries me because...
I feel like an idiot that, like, I'm like, oh, your film literacy. Like, oh, if only you watched movies hours and hours a day, like, you'd get my jokes. Can't. Like, I feel like I'm a little embarrassed by how much I know about movies. You know what I mean?
Think it's, like the degree of focus. More, you know? Like, if I'm going to follow something, I can't follow something unless I really want to follow. Like, unless I really want to see it. Like, if it's, like, sit down to this action movie, it's, like... I'm not going to be able to follow the plot unless I, like, concentrate super hard. And, it takes a lot of will to do that.
Tim, after I made Tim watch Gone Girl last night, he was like, all right, it's my turn. You're going to watch a James Bond movie. And I'm a self-proclaimed, like, film expert and nerd, and I've never seen a James Bond movie. And there's a reason for it. It's because I don't like action.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like action movies.
I've seen one before, and I couldn't follow it worth shit.
It's like they're throwing money at the screen, and I might as well just be like, I don't know. It's a waste of money because I don't care what's happening. I can't follow it. There's not enough like human interaction for me to like. It's like, oh, and then he jumps off of the thing, then he does this. And to me, it's just like, number one, we know what's going to happen. We know that the hero nothing bad is going to happen to the hero during this action sequence. Like, I can't even think of a movie.
I would have thought you liked more like stuff like that. Cause I think of what a lot of what you watch as. Really much more, like...
I like science fiction, so I like... I have a really simplistic way of categorizing movies as boy movies or girl movies, and I do like some boy movies, like... Mm-hmm. But they have to have a sufficient amount of romantic interest tied into it. There has to be, like, a human story that I can follow. And, like, I'm sure that the Bond movies have those, but it's such a man's world and such, like, a silly, like... This is what's important. And it's just like, this shit isn't important. You know? Like, oh, we have to get, like, the microchip to the thing. And, like... And if there are women, then the women are, like... It's not just enough that, like... I mean, the strong women are also beautiful, you know, like, it's just, like, I'm supposed to, like, Tim was all like, oh, no, later on in the movie, like, the Bond girl comes in, and she's all, like, smart and competent and cool, and I'm like, yeah, and also impossibly hot, right? Like, that's the only entryway for a woman, you know? Like, it's not interesting, it's just a man's world, and it's just a lot of, I don't know.
Did you watch the Mad Max movie?
Watch what?
The new Mad Max movie.
I really loved the new Mad Max movie, but, like, that transcends the genre.
Oh, really, no, wonderful. I'm just curious. Somebody told me I'd like it, and I'm just trying to decide if I should try it or not.
Well, there's a big, like, a lot of the rhetoric around it is that it's a feminist movie, and it is.
Well,
and
no, I'm just wondering if I would be able to follow it.
I think you'll be able to follow it because, I mean, it's a testament to the good filmmaking because it is, like, nonstop action, but that's always the challenge in an action movie, to make the action make, like, cogent sense and to have it follow, like, a story, because usually, a lot of times, it has to do with, like, studio interests of, like, oh, we need a big explosion here, we need this here, and then, like, you sort of, like, try to jimmy-rig an action, you try to jimmy-rig a story around it, you know what I mean? Like, they try to fit it into the story, but the new Mad Max is a really skillfully made, great movie.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. You can only see Silver Linings Playbook so many times, man.
Oh, that is a good one, too.
You want to watch it later?
That's the movie that Tim and I watched before we kissed for the first time.
Oh, really?
We were
friends.
You and
I watched that movie like four times.
When I came over that night and it was like, oh, I guess we'll just sleep in the same bed, friend. And he was like, let's watch Silver Linings Playbook. I was like, all right.
Gay.
Gay. I know.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, he's a sensitive guy. But I think he likes the football element as well.
Oh, okay.
You're like, okay, not like, gay.
I forgot about the football element.
Don't forget that he's obsessed with football.
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
Whatever you think my boyfriend's gay, remember. Yours too. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think we're going to start up with The Perfect Letter, the beginning of The Perfect Letter, a novel.
Have you read this?
This is cold for me, and like, this is my goal, is to get myself kicked off in this fine novel. So we'll start with chapter one. The Perfect Letter, a novel by Chris Harrison. Chapter one. Leigh Merrill had grown up surrounded by men. She'd known men who were kind, men who were good at their work, and men who were generous. But she had rarely met one who was all of the above the way Joseph Middlebury was.
Wait, what were the things? Kind. She'd known men who were...
She'd known men who were kind, good at their work, and generous.
Okay, got it.
Okay. But...
I don't feel like those three traits are...
I know, I'm already having trouble following this, Chris Harrison. Have these men been on The Bachelorette?
Never have I found a man that's both kind and hardworking.
I know. Ever in life. Doesn't kind and generous tend to go hand in hand?
Yeah, those are practically synonyms.
All right. As editorial director, he'd taken an interest in her from her earliest days at Jenks and Hall Publishers. See, this is the writing world stuff here is also going to...
Oh.
I'm interested in hate reading it, you know? Listening to her ideas and encouraging her to discover new authors. And she thrived there, moving up from a lowly editorial assistant to senior editor in only 6 years. When at last she'd gotten her own office and he'd finally decided it wouldn't be inappropriate any longer to ask her to coffee, she felt both grateful for all his support and flattered that he'd singled her out to be with him in this new, more intimate way. Why not, she'd thought at the time. It might be fun. She'd never dated someone like Joseph, a man who'd grown up in Manhattan, gone to expensive boarding schools, dined with presidents and celebrities.
Sorry, I fell asleep.
Wait, I'm almost to the hook.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For 2 years, they'd been happy together in both love and business. They lived in apartments around the corner from each other, enjoyed Thai food and going to concerts, doing their Times crossword over lox and bagels on Sunday mornings. Their friends said they seemed like a perfect match.
All right. Well, that's a lot in the first paragraph. So that's the man that she's gonna like become dissatisfied with.
Yeah, and... I think we've got a sense already, a foreshadowing that her perfect match may be another.
The whole book is just like. And then they, like, went to another concert.
How about the farmer's market? They were a perfect match.
There's just no conflict or, like, story arc. It's just 200 pages of, and then another perfect night.
Even when they had a little kerfuffle.
They talked it out.
They spent a few hours talking and then decided to pour a nice glass of whiskey. A nightcap before going to bed.
They went outside and there was a surprise private concert. They went on a miming date. They learned a lot about it.
They decided to put on diapers and either play sumo or do weird sexual stuff. Hard to say.
One night things were getting a little stale, so he picked her up and ran her around the bases. And they really needed that. And then everything was revived.
Wait, says Leigh. Turn on the music. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel.
The curtains fluttered as they went into their bedroom. The door shut.
They called it the fantasy suite.
Every night.
Their last name has to be fantasy.
This is fantasy. The end.
Stay tuned for the next paragraph. What if I just do this for the rest of time?
And on finally, a long enough timeline.
I know.
If this show lasts the length of, like, how many fucking paragraphs you think are in that book.
I know. But Molly and I had a heart-to-heart last time about how we're in it. We're just going to keep on going.
It was like, yeah. will you accept this rose? And I was like, 1,000%. We're doing Bachelor in Paradise. There's no fucking rest. It starts in August. It starts
August 1st or something. But, it's just, you know, no I just rest feel for like, wicked. Yeah, I just feel like...
I've fallen in love with the sound of our voices,
I've fallen really. In love with you all over again, Molly.
It's the voices, but I think that I love you.
I could see myself
falling in love with
you.
Well,
at least I do feel like you're here for the right reason, so that's okay.
I just told you that it was for my own ego. Thing.
I didn't ever rate our podcast, but everyone should.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Megan, if you can't do it.
I have to download iTunes.
Fuck you.
I'll get on the other computer.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. It matters more than you know.
Jared's eliminated. Sean,
At the end of the episode, we've got Sean confronting Nick in his room, and they start arguing, and then there's the cliffhanger, which came so quickly this time around.
It seemed like the episode breezed by. We were having so much fun.
I know. We were just having the greatest time.
Party. Pizza party. It was really good pizza.
Yeah, we should do it again. I'll buy pizza. Start buying just Totino's. My cat calls fancy crackers.
You can't maintain a pizza party every week. That's a lot to take on financially. We're not bringing in any revenue.
Sponsor. We need a sponsor.
Party. Pizza sponsor party. Yeah, not with that song.
What is that, your own song? Did you just make that
the
up?
The party pizza party song? My friend Megan, when I was growing up, she had this friend Shannon who would like, she would always be like, party. Pizza party.
I was like, you keep doing it, and I don't know where it's supposed to go with it. Is. Like,
well, yeah. I used to deliver pizza for, 7 years of my youth, and all my friends did, too. And, so often, I'd walk into the room with a fucking pizza, and she'd always sing that song. I just think, whenever there's a pizza, it's a party. Everybody knows that pizza equals party. And, you'd have, pizza parties at school.
Yeah, I know. It really brought me back.
I think it might be a song. I think she might have gotten it from somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. But, it's been bastardized.
Copyright.
Yeah.
Copyright my sister's friend, Shannon. That's who coined party pizza party.
Well, anyway, I think we're pretty much at the end here. Do you want to do any predictions?
Well, okay, so the episode ends with Sean being I just can't believe that Caitlin kept Nick in the final three. Nick is going to get more time in the fantasy suite. My emotions are overflowing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot how he was.
Call Nick's room and, so he's like, can I get, Sean's room number? Or Nick's room number? And they just give it to him. What kind of hotel? Just yeah, right. Sure, whoever. Whoever you are, sure. So he goes to his hotel and is like, I just want to talk about why I don't like you, basically. They just start fighting, you know? So that's how it ends, and we're going to see the rest of the fight at the beginning of next episode. The fantasy suite episode. I think it's going to be really exciting.
I can't wait.
I think it's all going to be about Sean and Nick, Clash of the Titans. Ben H is just I just want to talk all night. And Caitlin's just God damn it.
I know.
I don't know.
Oh, Caitlin.
Poor Caitlin. I don't feel bad for her, but I'm wondering what's going to happen for her. In our predictions, I feel like we were both wrong and right about certain things.
Yeah.
You were more right than me, I guess. We both thought that Jared was going to last for some reason. We both gave him a place.
Yeah, I think you were right on that. I thought that Sean and Nick would stay. I didn't realize that. I don't know. Neither 6 of 1, half dozen the other, really. But so you think Ben H is going to sneak in? And what's the order? Do we have the mental all next? Is that what's happening?
Or
do we
have the fantasy suite? So what's going to happen is assuming that things go the way that it historically has, which you never know, game changers all around, but
the home visits too, fuck, okay,
only 2 of them are going to go on the home visits. What will happen at the end of this episode, this next episode, is that she will eliminate one of them, and then 2 of them will do home visits. Ordinarily it was four, but, like, it's just, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, at this point. So they're going, the next episode will be, like, boning and elimination.
It's weird, though, because it used to be four home visits where they met the, in this case, the dude's family, and then when there's they meet Caitlin's family, but I guess they'll both meet both. I assume that that's what will happen.
So we'll probably have a mid-episode rose ceremony and then head into the home.
The mental all is going to happen before the so it happens when there's only two left. So probably there's going to be one more normal episode. Then after this week, there'll be the mental all episode, and then there'll be, like, I'm guessing a two-night bachelorette event for that shit. I am also excited. I still haven't talked to you about my mental all plans, but I thought it would be fun to possibly have a man in here. I don't know which one, but I thought maybe we could have a special guest. And if we can't get a man, I don't know, maybe Jen? I don't know.
Tim or Phil.
Tim or maybe Zach, my old roommate. Special celebrity guest, my old roommate, Zach. Maybe Amy Schumer, I don't know. Maybe Colin Farrell here, you know, is he the true detective?
Is your lot roommate, of feelers Zach, out there. Would you want someone who has a bachelorette?
You bring up a good point that he hasn't watched the season, and I told him that I really want him to get caught up so that he could possibly be on the mental.
The Tim thing would be amazing, but it might degenerate into, like, talking about your relationship or something, you know?
Doubtful. That doesn't happen in real life. I doubt it will happen on the air.
But maybe I'm saying in your relationship. I'm the wild card.
That's true. You would get us.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's just what we need.
Maybe just it turns into marriage counseling.
You guys would hate that, right?
Bachelorette based marriage counseling. Oh, it's my settled. God.
You, me, and Tim. No, I don't know. Yeah. We'll workshop it. I just thought it would be an idea. I thought it would be an interesting idea to have a man in the mental all.
I agree.
There's a lot of options out there. We could get Will. We could get old school Will in here.
Old school Will.
That wouldn't go badly. He wouldn't have some under the breath shit to say to me. Holy shit. Man.
Oh my god, the possibilities are endless.
Wow. As long as we're willing, we've proven that we're willing to fuck up our own lives for the sake of Jesse. The show. Jesse.
Get in touch with him.
A man who has my first and last name tattooed on his chest with, a racist symbol that tempers any good feelings I could possibly have about it. Let's get that guy on the show.
Let's talk about his views about women.
Yeah. Jesse, what do you think about women and relationships? Let's keep it impersonal, but yeah, come be on our fun show.
Oh my god. I'm just saying the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for joining me today here in my bed.
The pleasure is all mine.
Do you have anything you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Nope. I'm good. MollyLitch.com, DogHatesFilm.com.
MeganNicoleCruz.com with a K.
We love you. We've already, not quite the longest episode, but if I keep talking, it will be. So. Goodbye, we love you.
Goodbye.